Some things only make sense in context, and without the things that are supposed to surround them, they just don't make any sense. So imagine you're working in your yard or something, and you find something, whatever it is. You're not really sure, but it's something, and it looks intentional. It looks like maybe it's part of something that somebody made, but it's fragmented, it's partial, it's damaged, it's incomplete. And so in the end, you have no clue what it is. It's obviously something, but that's about as far as you could get. It could be a tool. Maybe it's part of a statue that fell apart, or a building. Maybe it used to be part of the path, or some ancient mechanism. Or maybe it's just an accident. Maybe nobody made it on purpose. Maybe it's pointless, and it's just an illusion that makes it look like somebody made it. But without knowing what it actually is, who made it, and what it's actually for, the best that you would be able to do is to guess and to hope that you got it right. But there would be no way to know for sure, and there would be no way to check whether or not you were right in your guess. That is our life without God. It seems like we exist for a purpose. Looking around, it seems like maybe somebody had a point to this, but there's no way to actually know without God. And so without God, I'm left saying that I don't know what I'm for. I don't know why I even exist. Maybe I'm just pointless. And that's a really unpleasant place to be. That's not what we're made for. And so we try to cope with that by making stuff up. We try to come up with an answer just like we do with this mystery object we find in the yard. And so we set out to come up with our own reasons, to make our own meaning, to create our own purpose. But that never works. It always seems artificial and hollow. And that's because it is. We know that we're just making that up. And so it leads to despair. We lose hope. Because we're meant for God. And so we don't make sense without him. But at the beginning of time, our first parents, Adam and Eve, rejected him, rejected that context that makes them make sense. And so now, all of us, their descendants, wander around without context, trying to understand what we're for, why we exist. Whatever was written previously was written for our instruction, that by endurance and the encouragement of Scripture, we might have hope. God is our context. The thing that makes our existence make sense is the fact that we are made by God to be loved by God and to love him in return. And because God made us because he wants to love us, he doesn't abandon us to that confusion, to that wandering around in darkness. He revealed all of Scripture to show us the truth. He calls us to himself in so many ways. And so each of you that are preparing for your sacraments to come fully into the church at Easter, each of you have a story of how God has called you to himself. And not just them, but all of us in this building have a story of how God is calling us to himself. How he calls and reveals what we're for. He shows us the whole picture, the whole story. That we were created to bear his image and to be like him, to be his image in the world. And that image in us was broken, and so we ended up alone. And so God doesn't just leave us there, but Jesus Christ becomes man at Christmas and enters the world to come and to save us from that isolation. And so, catechumens and candidates, that's what you're receiving. In these months of preparation, that's the story of what you're receiving. And that's what we're all receiving day by day, is to see more and more deeply how Christ has come and done that. We're learning the truth that God reveals to us. Because he wants to give us something that's solid and secure, not something that's going to change in a week or a month or 50 years, but to have something that will be true no matter what. And that's what he gives us in his church. And so because we are no longer trying to make our own meaning, we're no longer coming up with our own answers, St. Paul exhorts us to think in harmony with one another. Because we are not setting out to figure it out on our own. We're not setting out to correct the church or to fix other people, but we're setting out to receive together what Jesus Christ offers through his body, that is the church, that unchanging truth that he wants to give us of who we are and what we're for. And so in the gospel, Christ, speaking through John the Baptist, is calling us to repentance, to turn away from our sin, because we are created to be the image of God. And sin is anything that's not like God. And so Christ is calling out, turn back from all of these things that disfigure you. Leave behind all of those things that make you less like me. Christ commands that. He's not afraid to ask a lot from us. But he doesn't make us do it alone either. And so in the sacraments that you're preparing to receive, Jesus comes himself and does that in you. He comes himself to restore his damaged image in you. That at baptism, he comes and makes you a child of God and gives you the right to call God your Father just like he does, in the exact same way. And that in confirmation, he comes and he fills you with the Holy Spirit, with all of those gifts from the first reading, the gifts of wisdom and understanding, counsel and strength, knowledge and fear of the Lord. And that at every single communion, so long as we're not shutting him out by unrepentant sin, by refusing to leave our sin behind, at every single communion, he comes again and gives us himself in his wholeness, holding nothing back, refashioning in us day by day the image of God that we lost at the beginning of time. Your life only makes sense in context. So thanks be to God that Christ has come and revealed that the context of all of our lives is the unchanging love of his Father.